is going on, and welcome to the Power Up Progression podcast. I'm your host, John Marone. Thank you very much for joining us on today's episode. And please do not forget to like, subscribe, follow the podcast, write a review, and then share it out to anybody who can take the value from today's episode and put it into their life. But now it is time to help you design the life you've always wanted to live, creating the ultimate version of yourself, and jump into the episode. So let's get it popping. Welcome back to the Power Up Progression podcast. I am your host, John Marone, and on today's show, we have a phenomenal man with an extreme passion for helping people. His name is Chris Harder, and Chris believes that everyone has a right to an abundant lifestyle and the responsibility to help others have the same. He lives by the understanding that the best way to receive is to give, and he actually calls getting an automatic side effect to giving, which I absolutely love. Going from extremely wealthy to extremely broke and broken, Chris has climbed his way back up to the top with massive success. He has a powerful podcast called For the Love of Money, where his goal is to expose those stories of the most successful people in the world, thus giving you the permission, the motivation, the tools and tips and resources to love and attract money without any apologies, and to become super successful, but in return to empower you to live generously and in your earnings, making sure that you're giving back to those around you. My man, Chris Harder, welcome to the Power Progression Podcast. How are you doing?
Man, John, I'm good. I'll tell you what, that might be one of the best intros I think I've ever gotten. At least the most high energy. I love it.
Absolutely, man. I do things intentionally to make sure I save my energy throughout the day. You know what I mean? Because it definitely wears on you.
Excellent. I love it. Well done.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming, Chris. And the whole point of bringing you on is for you to really establish, to show people really what For the Love of Money at podcast is about as well. But for you to show people the story that's behind Chris Harder, the obstacles that you overcame, and the processes that you put around in order to overcome them. So I'm excited, super grateful for you to be vulnerable today. So let's dive right in, brother. You good?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go.
Yes, let's do it. So let's start with the journey. I know a little bit about you growing up. Like you said, in a few other episodes of podcasts I've heard, it wasn't a bad experience growing up. But there was a point in time where you took a job that ended up being really a almost the death to any success you could ever have for happiness. Tell us a little bit about that journey, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think you got back up from there just a tiny bit. So I'm Midwest born and raised, awesome family, luck out there. The job you're referring to is when I got into banking. Now, the entire banking experience was not bad. And here's why. I was actually quite fortunate to end up where I ended up at the time. I was booted out of college for just partying too much and not wanting to be there and bad grades. And finally, after 2.5 years, they said, you're out of here. We don't even want your tuition. I remember it's funny because at the time I was excited. Like for me, that was a win. I know that sounds crazy. My parents, man, they were devastated. Like they thought this was the end of everything because they thought you had to go to school, get a good job, and that's how you're going to be safe later on. So what happens? Well, I liked cars my entire life growing up. So logically, I decided I would go get a job selling cars. Why not be around something you love all the time? I always had this inner urge that I wanted to be out there making money, be like participating in the world, in the economy as soon as possible. Sitting back learning, I just wasn't cut out for it. So I get this job at this car dealership selling cars. In the first 3 to 4 months, I beat everybody there. So then they promote me to the finance department where I'm selling financing and warranties and all that. Quickly out of that small department, become the top person there. Then the guy running the department is moving on somewhere else and they give me the department to run. Within a year and a half worth of time, I had learned sales. I had learned communication. I had learned leadership. I had learned so many things that I'll tell you what, if you can learn sales and leadership and take that with you everywhere else in life, you're going to be able to write your ticket if you're really good at it. Mm-hmm. I made it my mission to get really good at it because I was loving what I was doing at the time. And then into that year and a half, all of my friends were starting to get into the big mortgage boom. Of course, they're making a ton of money. I wanted to make a ton of money too. So I switched over, interviewed at this international bank for this beginner loan officer position in mortgages. I remember in that interview, guys like, hey, basically I already have my guy picked out, but this interview is already scheduled. So we're going to go through it anyways. And I sold my way into that job. He must have told me 3-4 times the position's filled. Thanks for coming. And I sold my way into that job. Now, it required a college education. I was kicked out. So already I had done something that they said couldn't be done. So I sold my way into that job. I just, you know, long story short, knock it out of the park, then get my own branch, knock that out of the park, get a couple more branches, get a district, end up getting an entire division. I end up running lending for countless numbers of people for this huge international bank. And it was an awesome experience. Furthered my lessons in leadership for sure. It really allowed me to find parts of who I am and parts of what I enjoyed doing. You know, I loved leading massive teams in sales and in positivity and finding out who they are and how they can show up. And it was great until the recession hit. Then the recession hit and everything just went to hell. Here's the crazy thing about it. I spent the next year jumping on airplanes, flying around, closing down branches, telling people one-on-one that we're letting you go and here's your service package, what questions you have. And I got every single possible response you could imagine. Now remember, I'm in my late 20s. Most people I'm doing this to are 30s, 40s, 50s. So they're angry. They're like, I got a family. I got a house. Who are you that you get to stick around and come tell me this? And so that was a really rough learning experience in a different way for that year of my life. And it was the worst year of my life probably because I was on the road all the time. I would just eat comfort food and drink alcohol every single night because I was on the road sitting in hotels, bored and depressed. I gained about 30 pounds and I became just this miserable person. So therefore I was a miserable partner to my wife, Lori, and everything about that year was a mega low point. Now here's the crazy thing. We had thought that the good momentum that we had prior to this recession was going to last forever. So I would literally joke that I'm not only spending this year's money, I'm spending next year's money too, because I would get a brand new promotion and a giant raise every single year, year after year after year, like clockwork. And I was young and naive, so I thought it would last forever. And when this recession hit and we were closing on all these branches, first my bonuses shut off right away, then my salary got cut in half. Then after 1 year of telling everybody else it's their turn to go home, they said, hey, you can take a demotion of a demotion of a demotion of a demotion and run a branch in Jersey. Or you can take a severance package. And I said, I'll take the severance package. I remember it's funny because like, well, don't you need to go home and talk to your wife about it? And I said, no, trust me. She wants me gone. It's like, she wants me out of here. So took the severance package. It was a multiple six-figure severance package. But the great irony is this. Despite getting a great severance package, I had to spend the entire thing and then some, paying off debts, getting rid of our house, walking away from our investment properties, selling all of our brand new cars that we had, everything that we had overspent on and that were just living beyond our means at the time. And I was stripped of this identity of having a title. I was stripped of this identity of how many people do you manage. I was stripped of this identity of being a good provider for my family. While being stripped of your identity feels like crap in the moment, it's one of the best things that can ever happen to you, especially if you have false identities or shallow identities, because it forces you to figure out, what value do I really have? What is my identity for real? How do I want to show up in the world? And it was a chance to reinvent myself, or maybe it was a chance to show up several layers deeper this time, like a lot more real this time. And so that's the good that came out of it. And at this exact same time, my wife, who never had a chance to sit down and say, what do I want to do in life for a career? She was forced, because of our circumstances, to figure that out. And that became, you know, the Lori Harder that everybody knows today. So out of that really dark period of a few years in our life really was the beginning of all of the best stuff.
That's amazing. And so I knew a little bit about that story, Chris, and that's why I wanted to start there, because I knew that there was some happiness going into it, but I knew the recession hit and I know that's where the kind of downfall went. But I think it's pretty phenomenal how from rock bottom, you could truly build the best foundation. And you had said something to where you said, you know, reinvent yourself or peel layers back. And I think it's you really truly realizing, not reinventing yourself, but truly finding who you were, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. That's such a great way to put it. I think when things are going well, it's easy to go through life not having to ask yourself that question or not having to dig too deep to find that out. When everything falls apart, you're forced to ask that question. You're forced to at least face it. Not everyone figures it out. That's a choice, but you're forced with the opportunity to figure out. And you're right. I think that is the best time, because you have nothing to lose, to peel back the layers and show up in the way that you were meant to show up.
I'm big on core values, Chris. I'm a huge guy. I believe that successful people like us, we make decisions quick. And the reason why is because we filter them through our core values. And I'm interested to hear about what your core values were maybe when you were 22, 23 versus what they are currently. You can give me two or three and kind of the meaning behind them if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's a great question. If I had to look for common core values that I've always had, teens, 20s, 30s, and now that I'm 40, it's been 100% ownership of your situation. It's been love. I've always loved people. It's been generosity. I've always been generous. It's been things like that. Core values I had in my 20s, well, first of all, there weren't core values, but they'd still exist today, right? Yep. But it's very much partying, instant gratification, things that are very typical of people in their 20s, quite honestly. Not everybody. It's a blanket statement, but very typical, right? It's a pattern that you see heavily for people in their 20s. And it's perfectly okay, actually, because it's such a cool time when there's very little at risk to go through that stage of your life and to figure out what you value and then to be shaken by the shoulders later to say, was that a real value worth valuing or not, right? And so many times people find out, wow, I can't believe I put value on that in the past. But that is part of life. Life would be so boring without that journey.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Life would be extremely boring. You know, it's funny. So my father, you know, we went through addiction our whole entire life and he always would say some smart shit, man. I'm not going to lie. And one thing he always says to me is, Johnny, you have until you're 29. When you're 29, that's the year you got to figure it out. He was absolutely correct. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this or watching this, the reason why I asked that question, Chris, is because people may be 30, 40 listening and watching this, and they're not set on their core values. And I think at 20, like you said, we don't even utilize the words core values because we don't understand them. But at the mature age of 30 and 40, I just want anybody listening to figure out what those core values are. And they're going to change more than likely with different events in your life, different impacts that happen around you. But set something now so you can have an easier filter to make decisions. Would you agree with that?
I would. And here's the caveat I would add to that. If you're doing it right, I think your values are always growing. If you're doing it right, I think your values are always slightly changing. If you're doing it right because you are evolving, your values are going to evolve. So even at 40 years old, I am no longer naive enough to think that what I call my core values now and the order that I would place them in will, you know, will look the same 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. I'm guessing they will look very, very different. And I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I'm open to that. Actually, I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. Just like businesses, as businesses grow, a lot of times their core values tweak a little bit in order just to match their growth. So I love that. Now, when you were going after the money and you know, you're in sales and doing all this stuff, was it for the money or was there something deeper than that? Or was it just strictly, hey, I just want the money to buy the cars and to get the house?
At the time, it was purely materialistic and accomplishment driven. Again, I teach all the time to people, that's okay. Don't be ashamed that that's what gets you started. And here's why. I want you to really picture this. If people aren't first motivated by a brand, by a car, by a home for their family, by a certain type of bag or clothes or trip or something that we call shallow, okay, or materialistic. If people are not first motivated by that, if they're not at first working towards achieving that, then there's no real driver to get up out of bed, work hard, create the machine that starts printing money. And once it starts printing money and you start to gain some of these things, you realize, yeah, they're cool, but they're nowhere near as cool as I thought. But now the machine is printing money. And so because you've checked a few things off your list and because you've gotten out of bed and followed your ambition and created this money printing machine, so to speak, now you're left with this revenue, this income, this net worth to figure out where could you put it that would actually bring you real happiness? Where could you put it that would actually bring you real fulfillment? So to anybody out there that's in your stage where you're just motivated by a car or a home or anything like that, don't apologize for that. Freaking rock and roll. Go get it because you're going to get it. You're going to realize it's kind of cool, but it's not as cool as you thought. It'll still be worth doing. It'll still be worth checking off the list. But at least then you're going to have the skill sets, the background, the business acumen, maybe the business. You know, sometimes you stay in the same one, sometimes you don't. You'll have that money printing machine up and running so that you can direct it towards what really matters to you after you check those things off the list.
Man, I love that. Anybody listening, like I always tell you, take notes. What he just said is don't be ashamed that money is what gets you started. Don't be ashamed of that. And because of the world we live in, we look like people that are stereotyped of, you know, going just after the money. When people see that, they think that person has bad core values otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think we're scared to put it out there to say, shit, I just want a Lambo. Right? Mm-hmm. I just want that big house. It's okay to want that. And Chris, you're a prime example of showing, look, you've had it and you experienced it, but you're here to tell you that start there and you'll find something else that you fall in love with even more along the way.
Yeah. And it's okay to like those things the rest of your life if you want. It truly is. I'm telling you, these carrots that are placed out there to keep us in momentum, to keep us doing the do, these carrots that we're chasing, we wouldn't have abundance to share with other people if not for the carrots that first got us going or that keep us going. So you can't label those things as bad. You can't label those things as shallow or the wrong things or anything like that, because as long as intrinsically you're a good human being, it's those things that are going to create the drive for abundance that will then give you the cup that's flowing over so you can give to other people from the part of the cup that is flowing over.
I love that. So that kind of brings me to my next question. I have a feeling I know what it is, but I want to dive a little deeper. What is your current why and how did you find it? A lot of people are having trouble finding their why. And I'm so interested in hearing what your why is and how you found it.
This is always such a good question. People place so much value on what is your why? And they're looking for some heart-wrenching, moving thing that like makes them run through walls. And so for some people, they're like, it's my children. And for other people, they're like, you know, it's this cause. And for other people, it's whatever. I don't know that I have this crazy, crazy why that forces me to run through a wall. What I do know is this. I love contribution. I love generosity. I love leaving people better than I found them. Mm. I love the challenge of creation, like creating things, businesses, new heights, new levels. I love all of those things, and all of those things together are what continue to drive me. So are they my why? Sure. But is it some heart-wrenching, I'm doing it to save the world? No, I'm just doing my part because I actually enjoy doing my part. Like if I'm being really honest, I don't have angel wings on, right? I'm not doing it because I'm some great Samaritan. I'm doing it because I thoroughly get off on giving. I thoroughly enjoy recognition. I thoroughly enjoy leaving someone better than I found them. I thoroughly enjoy watching someone else's business boost because of an idea I gave them. And it's okay to enjoy that stuff. I believe that was put in us on purpose because if we didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't do it. It's no different than procreation. Like if we didn't enjoy sex, there'd be no freaking people on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so you can't always paint this big, beautiful, whimsical why and stand on a pedestal and tell other people to find theirs. Just do the shit you love and make sure you have a good heart because those two things combined will make for a pretty cool life.
That's amazing. And did you realize this, Chris, after, you know, obviously you lost everything? Was there a point in time where you like envision yourself, you know, 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was, when you actually had this moment of shift? Or is it a little bit of a few events that lined up?
I don't think it's what you're asking, but I can tell you this. What I did learn from that, besides finding out who I really am and what value I really offer, I figured out what really mattered. So Lori and I go for at least a 3-mile walk every single day of our lives with our dog. We did it when we were, you know, back then. We did it when we were broke. We do it when we're rich. And I can tell you, broke or rich, that 3-mile walk is the best thing on the planet. It's what brings us happiness. Hanging out with our family. We fly out tomorrow to fly back to Wisconsin. We live in California right now to go see our families for 2 weeks. That is what we realized during that time that we thoroughly enjoyed doing the most, right? Having really good quality people in your life, brainstorming, like talking about big ideas, that is what we discovered we really enjoyed back when we were hitting the reset button. And these are all things you do and can do, whether you are broke or rich or anywhere in between. So I don't think it's directly what you're asking, but that's really what I discovered during that time.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, it was just through the process of you taking action to figure out what the hell you need to do to get to a place where you're financially stable, you found more of a reason of what you love to do and a little bit of your quote-unquote why through the process, it sounds like.
Now, I will clarify this. There's too many people out there that don't tell the whole story, meaning there's people out there that say, I was happy when I was broke, I was happy when I was rich. What really matters is this. I will tell you this. Our walks around neighborhoods full of mansions and beautiful landscaping and gorgeous things to look at are more enjoyable than if you're walking through a crappy neighborhood with nothing enjoyable to look at. That's just the facts, guys. So this whole thing, like, I don't need money to be happy. No, your happiness comes from you inside. But money can take a happy person and give them more enjoyment than they had without it.
Yes, agreed. And I'm with you on that one, man. A lot of people, I think it's just this, they want to be that good Samaritan, like you said, and it's okay to want money, to be able to utilize money to help others. And that goes into my next question. The podcast that you have, you've interviewed some amazing people. I mean, I don't know how many episodes, over 200, is it?
I think we're around 150 right now.
Yeah, it's close to that. I kept scrolling, man. I lost count. So tell me a little bit more about the purpose of this podcast. And what are the top few things that you learned from interviewing some of these movers and shakers of this world? What have you learned in the top three things, would you say, from these people?
So the purpose of the podcast is this. The tagline is, when good people make good money, they do great things. And I truly believe that. I see it time and time and time again. Heck, I was at a charity dinner last night where people were throwing money left and right to build schools, right? So when good people make good money, they do great things. And the podcast just simply sets out to prove that. Interview after interview after interview, because what happens is when you put those stories out there, when someone hears them often enough, all of a sudden they give themselves permission to be unapologetic about their own pursuit of wealth and success, because they realize, wait a minute, I'm a good person. I would do what Grant Cardone did. I would do what Lewis Howes did. I would do what Bedros did. I would do what so-and-so did. And they give themselves permission to stop saying stupid things like, I'm not doing it for the money, or to stop saying stupid things like, oh, I don't need this to be happy, or to stop, like, they lie to themselves. And the entire goal of the podcast is to get people to stop lying to themselves about money and their desire for it, so that they actually roll up their sleeves, go get it, so they actually have the ability to make a difference. Like, if you are living paycheck to paycheck, John, you can help somebody, but you can't make a huge difference. I'm just being honest. And some people are like, yeah, you can volunteer. How many people do you know living paycheck to paycheck have all that extra time to volunteer and all that extra energy to volunteer?
They're spending it drinking.
I'm sure somebody out there will be like, hey, Chris, I get the message all the time. I live paycheck to paycheck and I volunteer this many hours a week. And I'm like, awesome. Thank God. We need more people like you. But the overwhelming majority, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't have the time to volunteer or to make a difference. You don't have the money to make a huge difference. You don't have the energy or the attitude to make a difference, because you spend your energy either working your tail off, or you spend your energy being at home worrying about the bills or where the next meal is going to come from, or the next car payment, or the next rent. And you're no good for anybody else when you are beaten down, spending your whole time stressing and worrying. So the podcast gets people to believe that it is okay to pursue this wealth and this excess and this other lifestyle, because inherently when you're a good person, you're going to then use that success to go make a difference.
Man, I love that. And it's so different than what most people go after and talk about. And that's why I love having you on, Chris, is because you're real, bro. Like, that's simple as that. You're real. You're not bullshitting. This is the truth. This is how people think, but they don't want to come out and say it. And I love that you are. Tell me something about your limited beliefs. So I'm a huge believer that we all have limited beliefs. Mm-hmm. The most successful people, the people who are unsuccessful, we all have them. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing with successful people is that we don't live in that moment. Mm-hmm. But what is one of your biggest beliefs, and how did you overcome it, or how do you overcome it daily?
I had a limiting belief where I had a little bit of fear of success. So I wasn't worried about if I'd be successful. I was worried about when I'm successful, what obligations will I have that will change my life that was already good. But here's the damn problem. good is the enemy of great. We've heard that 100 times, right? Famous quote. And it's true. Good is the enemy of great. When things are good, you're scared to mess them up. But by not messing them up, by not pursuing other things, because you just want to stay in good, it's what stops you from being great. And trust me, great is better. Great is better than good. And so that was a limiting belief for a long, long time. And it took changing my tribe, people that would hold me accountable, make me think bigger. It took talking about it. It took reading. It took self-development events. It took all of that. There was not one magic bullet. It took all of that to get me to process through that fear of success and that fear of upsetting the quote good. When good, I'll tell you what, when things are good, but you know you have greatness in you, that's a really lonely gap. That's a really crappy gap. That does not feel quote good. When you know that you are good, but you have greatness in you. That's the same as like being down and out right now and knowing that you have the capability to not be down and out. It feels the same. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So from what I'm hearing, and I want everybody to write this down, the limited belief of success is huge. I think it's across the board. Many people feel that way, but you utilized your sphere. You got into a room where you weren't the smartest person and people challenged you. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Personal development, day in and day out, and you continue doing it until you got to the greatness. Now that you're there and you're pretty darn successful, is there still a fear or limited belief of beyond where you're at?
Yeah, I still struggle with that same one. I mean, successful is nothing more than a perspective. Mm-hmm. It's a subjective finish line, okay? So some people might say, oh, you're successful, you have a million. And other people are like, a million's broke. Oh, you're successful, you have 10 million. And some people are like, that's kind of broke. Oh, you're successful, you have 100 million. So when people say that, they're like, oh, hey, you got there. You must have gotten past the thing. No, somebody who has $10 million but doesn't have $100 million must have some limiting beliefs, or they'd have $100 million. And if they're like, well, no, I don't have any limiting beliefs, I'm just not pursuing $100 million. That's your limiting belief. Like everybody at every level, even someone with $100 million, they have some reason why they're not at a billion. Because the time and the day that you utilize to accomplish that doesn't change. The skill sets and your ability to go out and get those skill sets, the know-how, that doesn't change. None of that stuff is a real barrier. Those are lies. They're perceived barriers. It's the belief that's stopping you from going further.
Yes, I love that. I love that. No matter what level you're at, there's still limited beliefs. It's just, you know, some people live in them longer and some people don't. Amazing. So the most important 4 hours of your day is going to be the 2 hours when you wake up and the 2 hours before you go to sleep. I truly believe that. Tell me, what does Chris's 2 hours look like when he wakes up and then 2 hours before you go to sleep on average?
Man, what a great question. We have what's called protected time in the morning. Nobody can penetrate it unless you're like super close friends and family. From the time we wake up, which is always 7 to 7:30, somewhere in there, to 10:59 a.m., we won't schedule any meetings, no podcasts, no business calls, no anything. You can't penetrate us. You can't get us, because that's our time to become the best versions of ourselves for everybody else the rest of the day.
Yes.
So we wake up, I wake Lori up to a mantra every day. I literally roll over and wake her up to, I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, more fit than I was yesterday. I roll right back over. I say a real quick prayer of gratitude for 60 seconds. It's super juvenile and random, but it's just things like, I'm so glad my dog's laying across my legs. I'm so glad for this beautiful home I woke up in. I'm so glad for my health today. I'm so glad that Lori's next to me. Like every day it's different. It's just taking inventory.
Yes.
Of what you're grateful for. And look what I did with the first 90 seconds of my day. I chose my thought patterns instead of waking up on the quote wrong side of bed like everybody else claims to. When you wake up on the wrong side of bed, you're really just waking up and allowing whatever thoughts come your way to pop into your lap, as opposed to choosing your thoughts for those first 90 seconds. So then we go downstairs, make coffee, feed the dog, grab a book, and start reading so that we have some positive propaganda to reinforce how we want to feel. Get a quick meditation in. Go get our workouts in. Our workouts are different every single day. When we get back, it's at 10:59 that we're cleaned up, ready to go, that other people can then take from the part of the cup, once again, that's flowing over. And I always, when people kind of say, well, I could never do that. Of course, you may not be able to put together the same schedule. Everyone has different circumstances. But you could create protected time somewhere in your day, even if you had to break it up as a non-negotiable in order to be this best version of yourself for everybody else. There's too many people out there that are being 40% versions of themselves. They're burnt out, they're tired, they're resentful, angry, they're negative, they say yes to too many things, you name it. And they're wondering why their life is the way it is. And then the crazy part is this. They say, well, it must be nice to be able to go have your protected time. You have your protected time because you have a good life. No, I have a good life because I created this thing called this protected time, right? And so that's the first couple hours of our morning. You asked about the last couple hours of our evening. And I like this because everyone always asks me about our mornings. No one ever asks us about our evenings. We have a mandatory dog walk every single night, no matter what. It's how Lori and I connect as a romantic couple again, instead of just business partners. There's something about that 1 hour, 3 to 4 mile physical change of state and physical change of location that forces us to morph back into the couple that we want to be. And so we take the walk every day, rain or shine, with the dog, grab our salads typically or some kind of takeout. We have no food in the fridge here whatsoever. So every single night we pick out our dinner on the spot. And we live in one of those cool little neighborhoods where you can do that. We come back and just kind of talk about our day, put our feet up, sometimes watch something productive or positive or grab books again. We typically get into bed like 9:30, maybe 10 at the latest every single night.
That's amazing. And you said something, man. First off, I agree cold-heartedly with what you said about people telling you that they can't do it. You may have different circumstances, but you're a damn liar. You just go ahead and work around it. And have clarity breaks throughout your day. If it's got to be 15 minutes, you know, every hour, then do that for now. But I am so in tune with you with that. But you said something that I love. You said you get to choose your thought patterns mm-hmm. the first 90 seconds of your day.
Yep.
And that's so crucial because it's when that the first 90 seconds, the first 120 seconds where we get up and the first thing in our mind is, I don't want to go to work. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to get up. Right, like right there, boom, boom. And that starts the momentum of negativity. And just the thought of it, just saying, man, you choose your own thought patterns. So intentionally wake up and say something positive, affirmations, gratitude. Within the first 2 minutes, my momentum is higher than it's ever going to be, you know, in the rest of the day probably because I chose it and it's the first thing I thought of. I love that, man. It's phenomenal. I appreciate
that. Listen, there's no easier time of day to control than your first 2 minutes, right? That's a fact. Everybody, no matter what your circumstances are, can afford those 2 minutes when they wake up. If you can change that alone, it'll change everything for you.
Man, those two minutes. This is gold, man. I am so grateful you're dropping this on them because it's the real. And that's what I want. You know, that's exactly what I want. All right, so a few more questions. One being, if your time comes and you get to go up to the white pearly gates and you see God and whoever it is, you know, maybe it's, you know, Brett Favre at that time for you. Oh. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I'm a Cowboys fan, first of all. I was at the game, side note, I was at the game where we should have beat you guys in the playoffs and we lost because he played, you know, backyard football and whatever. I'm still throwing up from that.
Still a little bit painful for you.
Still painful, but that's you know, neither here nor there.
I'm so excited the season's back, like out of my mind excited.
Yes. And I want to talk to you about that too for a second. But so you go ahead and you know, your time comes, you see God or whoever it may be. What do you want him to say to you?
Good job. You actually used what I gave you. It's funny. I ask people this question kind of in a different way when I'm coaching them a lot of times. People that are so worried about what people think of them down here, I'll say, picture, you know, finally passing away, getting to the gates of heaven or whatever you believe in, having your creator look at you and say, well, how'd you do? Did you use the gifts I gave you? And actually answering, no, I was worried what Betty would think about me on Facebook. And literally picturing God being like, bro, you were more worried about Betty on Facebook than you were about me? What is wrong with you? Mm. And it's that picture there that makes you realize what you need to worry about and who you shouldn't worry about.
Betty, damn Betty. Man, that is awesome. I'm gonna give you four words, one at a time. In the top of your head, I want you to tell me what you associate with that word. Everybody has different associations for different words, and I just like to hear what you think about these words. You ready?
Yes, this is fun. All right, go for it.
All right, perfect. So the first one is going to be failure.
Opportunity.
Fear.
Everyone has it.
Success.
It's your obligation.
Hustle.
You can't get anywhere without it.
I love it. I love it. Quick. Boom. Good stuff. Man, I appreciate you so, so much and just being who you are. And before I ask the last question, there's a tattoo you have on your arm.
Yeah.
You post this on Instagram and I was like, dude, I need to ask him a little bit deeper about it. So tell everybody what your tattoo says on your arm and a little bit of meaning behind it.
So it says, live as though the universe conspires in your favor. You know, this goes back to before I was doing a lot of self-development. This is really, it's a butchered Rumi quote. I forget what the exact real quote is, but I had butchered it and morphed it and changed it while I was trying to become this better person with a better perspective. And it really hit me like a ton of bricks that if you go through life with the attitude that everything conspires in your favor, then it changes how you view every single circumstance or event that happens. So let's say your car breaks down. Well, if everything's happening for your favor, then it must be breaking down so you can meet someone or avoid an accident or do something later. But if you don't have this attitude, if you don't have this perspective, your car breaks down, it's, oh, another shitty day. Why does this always happen to me? And that'll set you in a downward spiral. The other one will keep you on top of your game. And this becomes a series of butterfly effect, for lack of a better term, where negative thought after negative thought after negative thought starts to pile up to create a negative life, or empowering thought after empowering thought after empowering thought starts to pile up to create an empowered life. It's just a matter of choices, guys. Like this concept of 100% ownership of exactly where you are right now, and I mean really owning it. So let's go back to my story about the recession. The recession didn't happen to me. Like when I tell the story, I don't say, oh, the recession happened. No, I say, I happened to me. I spent all my money. I used to joke that spending this year's money and next year's money, I didn't take care of it. If you go back far enough in any situation, you can find out where you became responsible for where you are right now. Now that can be as maddening and as frustrating and as hard to swallow as it can be empowering and exciting once you choose to see everything that way. So that's what's behind it.
Man, it's just, first off, I love it. It's just so funny how you put that on your arm before you really got into this massive self-improvement. But as Steve Jobs always says, and I always say it, can't connect the dots going forward, only looking back. You know, and it's so true because we live in this victim mentality world.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't take ownership. So if anybody's listening to this and you're a leader, which every single person listening to this is a leader, whether you're a manager, you're an owner, you're a father, you're a wife, it doesn't matter. You're a leader. Somebody's looking up to you. And if you do not take ownership from the littlest things to the biggest things, from the person who rear-ended you to the biggest thing that's in your life that you know was your mistake, I'm talking about everything. If you don't take ownership in it, you cannot consider yourself a leader.
Yep.
You gotta take ownership in it. And it just so fitting how you were all, you know, you're all about leadership, and ownership is the number one rule to be a leader is own all the failures.
Yeah.
That's is correct.
And own all the wins. Like you're the CEO of your life. So you gotta freaking own the failures, own the wins. You get credit for it all, unfortunately and fortunately.
CEO of your life. I love it. You are the CEO of your life, brother. I appreciate that one. Okay. We're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap things up. And I told everybody, always bring a pen and paper, write down your notes, because this is the Power of Progression podcast, which means your ass needs to implement the stuff that we're going over. But if you forgot to write some stuff down throughout the podcast, this is where Chris gets his chance to give you three things that they could take action on and implement immediately to be better today than they were yesterday. I got my pen and paper. So this is one of my favorite parts because I get tons of value from it. So three things that the viewers can start doing immediately, actionable things to be better today than yesterday.
I love this. Okay. Number one, up-level your tribe. Immediately make a list of five people that you are going to make an honest, solid attempt to develop some kind of relationship with over the next 6 months. And these five people, by the way, are people that should be doing better in areas of life that you want to be doing better in. Okay. So there's number one, make the list that you're going to be really intentional about and then go out and make that happen over the next 6 months. Number two, move your body every single day, whether you're already into fitness or whether you are not, no matter where you are in your journey, moving your body every single day is not just about health or not just about looking better, not just about having more confidence. there's something magical about how it changes your state and puts you in control of how you're going to view things and feel and choices you're going to make when you make that choice to move your body in a significant way every single day. And the third one would be release judgment. Probably the best damn thing I've ever done in life was learning to judge people significantly less than I was before. Because when you're judging everybody else, your fear then intrinsically is that everybody must be doing the same to you, and it paralyzes you and it stops you from all these different opportunities and chances and relationships and everything else that you would have because you're too worried about what they think of you or what you think of them. And then the fourth one, you only asked for three, I think, but the fourth
one. Give me four. Look, you're on a roll, bro. Give me one more. Go for it.
One would be this. I've got a saying that I created for myself, and it is ego is your greatest overhead. And it's true. When you can learn to manage and mitigate your ego, everything else in life becomes a lot more efficient. Like, think about it. Ego will cost you relationships. Ego will cost you opportunities because you don't say yes. Mm-hmm. Ego will cost you money because you buy things you shouldn't be buying. Or ego will cost you money because you're afraid of participating in an opportunity that, you know, because you might fail. And the fear of failing is really just saying, I'm protecting my ego from anyone being able to say, oops, you failed. Yes. So ego is the greatest overhead. It's going to cost you more than anything else in your life until you can learn to mitigate that.
These four right here, you guys listening, these are massive amounts of value. It's insane because I agree 100%. And then I think about it, I'm like, I agree 100%, but am I truly releasing judgment every single day? Am I truly, you know, my ego is my greatest overhead? Am I truly keeping that in check? Up-level your tribe. I'm definitely up-level my tribe as much as I can. That's how I contacted you, man.
You got to hang out with people that scare you. Yes. You got to hang out with people that scare you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Chris, man, you have just dropped bombs and bombs of value. And that's the only reason why I brought you on the show, because I know that was going to happen. And that's the reason why I hunted you down. I stalked you to make sure that you got on this podcast. But now the floor is yours, man. Let everybody know where they can find you, what your podcast, where they can find your podcast, maybe something that's coming up here in a few weeks and where they can see you.
First of all, John, thanks for having me on, man. Everybody should learn from you. You said stalked and you're joking around, but you made this connection happen out of the blue by being persistent. If everybody took a page out of your book, then they would be controlling the outcome of all of their circumstances. And so people could learn a lot from you in the terms of your effort and persistency and consistency. It's really cool. So kudos to you.
I appreciate that a lot.
Where can they find me? Chris W. Harder on Instagram is the best place to have a conversation with me. I've committed to responding to all DMs. I love when I hear what you guys are up to, answering your questions. I respond to all comments on my posts. Right now, it's just my favorite. Actually, it's my only platform that I actually log into and hang out on. And my podcast is fortheloveofmoney.com. You can also check out my mastermind there. If you go fortheloveofmoney.com/mastermind, which is for multiple six-figure earners and early seven-figure earners that want to come together for 1 year, plug into my network, and learn how to get to multiple seven figures year in and year out. So all of that is at fortheloveofmoney.com. Like I said, hit me up on Instagram just like you did, John, and shoot me a message.
Absolutely. And guys, go check out the podcast. It's absolutely 100% one of my favorites right now. I've been listening to it. And like I said, there are so many damn episodes. I just kept scrolling. I'm like, okay, which one I want to listen to next? So it's a lot of value and it touches on a lot of different things in life. And it's not just about money. And that's what I love about it. Even though it's called For a Love of Money, it goes a lot deeper than that. So it definitely breaks down the money aspect, but it goes a lot deeper than that. So make sure you go follow Chris. Make sure you go ahead and listen to the podcast, subscribe to it, write a damn review for this guy. And if you want to go ahead and get deeper into his network, make sure you look at the mastermind. I've been watching the Instagram videos and Instagram stories, man. And I'll tell you, I'm seeing the people in the mastermind, nothing but world-class game changers.
God, they're great people. I love them.
They are, you know, and it's cool because I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm like, these are literally the people that are movers and shakers right now, that are shaking up this world with value, giving back, and really making their voice matter versus just building a business.
Yep. Amen. Add more value and everything else will fall into place for you. It's the only shortcut there is.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. We're definitely going to talk and further this relationship. But guys, you know you can find me at Real John Marone on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever there's a social media platform. It's at Real John Marone. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And if Chris added massive value to you today, even one thing, drop a review with what that one thing was. And make sure you send this out to your friends, to your family, because I know there's something in here. It might have been one of the four things he talked about at the end, but there's something in here that could help somebody else. So do what is right and add value to the masses. I'm extremely, extremely excited once again that you came on the show. And I'll be dropping a show every single Tuesday. So make sure you guys come on back. Don't forget to subscribe, follow Chris, follow me, and make sure you have a phenomenal, an amazing rest of your week. Go crush it and just keep creating the ultimate version of you. Till next time, guys. Let's go.